Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikin.
And my name is Phil Vacchio. Hi, Dave. Hi, John.
Hi, Phil.
Phil, good to see you again.
You as again, well. Over and over and over.
We haven't seen Jane Marie in a couple of weeks. Is she all right?
She's in an undisclosed location.
Oh,
on
okay.
Vacation.
All right. I won't
enjoying
bring it up again.
The fruits of all her efforts.
Oh, great.
Good for her, right?
She'll be back next weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Okay.
She might be listening to us right now. She might even
she could be on a highway
somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll see.
She could be.
Although it's great to have Phil here again. So love
thanks,
that.
John. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Phil's part of the team, of course.
Right. Yeah.
Phil,
absolutely.
And Phil is a radio veteran.
Yeah, it's
years right. And years.
I've dabbled in the radio scene. Yeah.
We all kind of dabble.
He's got a great radio voice. He's got poise.
That's right, timing. He does, yeah.
He's got timing. How about that?
Timing is key.
That's the word for the day. Now, hold on. It's a call-in show. We're Herzog Law Firm. Welcome. Estate Planning and Elder Law. We're going to be talking to you about a little bit of some timing issues when it comes to long-term care today. We do have a call-in number here. It's 518-476-5900. We do have four offices. They're in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, and down in Kingston. And we'd welcome your phone calls. Happy to help any way we can. See you in the office, free consultations, etc. But, Phil, we were quickly talking about timing as we walked in because there was a eureka moment on the way over to radio about maybe a good topic to lead today.
Well, this is the best, right, when that hits you, that eureka moment?
Well, I had a good one, you know, John, we meet with clients and sometimes, yeah. I know this is the case, Phil, you're talking about something and maybe a phrase comes up or you word something a certain way and you say, oh, I got to remember this for radio.
Okay.
This is going to be good. And then I proceed to quickly forget it.
Oh, that's all of
it. You got to write it down. That's what iPhones are for, your note list.
Well, you know, it's weird if in front of the client I start writing and they say, what are you writing? I say, oh, it's for the radio program. We're going to.
They might use
you as an
example.
I just got an idea.
I gotta remember that.
Well, so the issue is timing, and it's really interesting. You know, timing is everything, right?
Yeah.
In many different areas of life, timing is key. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if there's these sliding doors moments, you just missed the light, you just missed the subway doors closing, and then maybe that leads to something good, maybe that leads to something bad.
Sure.
So the timing is all the universe.
Yes.
Now, there's some parts of timing we actually do control. And the first situation I kind of wanted to talk about was the situation where mom or dad are getting older. We all know it. Maybe a client comes in to kick the tires on what this world, the landscape is for long-term care at home. And when we go through our whole, you know, educational series, essentially, which is every consult, about, you know, what to expect with long-term care options for getting care at home, this program called Community Medicaid. There's no look-back period, all that stuff. A lot of times, clients say something along the lines of, well, that's great. You know, I don't think we're there yet, Phil. But, you know, maybe when we are, we'll definitely call and look into this community Medicaid thing.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. And, you know, when is that actual moment, right? So maybe at that time, that first meeting, you're meeting with them, this is the first time they're hearing about it, and they're young, they're healthy, and
youngish.
They're in
the age range,
right?
They are there.
Define young, right? The young now.
Yeah, they're your young. So which means in our young, which is like their 60s, 70s, or maybe they're in their 80s, and you know, dad's slowing down, and he needs a little bit of help every now and then. You know what? There's three of us siblings. We're gonna check in. We're gonna keep just checking in on him. We rotate just to make sure he's doing all right. The fridge is stocked. You know, stuff like that, and. I'll ask John. John, if you had a little sniffle today,
yeah,
would you go to the ER yourself because of a sniffle?
No.
What would you call your doctor if you had a sniffle?
No.
How long of a sniffle would you need to have until you start to think I got to call a doctor and check this out?
I don't know. It would be quite a while.
Quite a while. I'm the same way. I need to be
if it's
on my
just
deathbed.
A sniffle you're talking about. I mean,
what about a cough or you know?
You know, well, I've always had a cough, but you're right. I well, you know, it's still a while.
I have to be coughing up blood, essentially.
Yeah,
I'm coughing up blood, then I'll die.
Okay,
well,
there you go. Okay.
My wife, yeah, I'm sure the same with you.
You need to, like, trick me like I'm a dog going to the vet, and you say, no, we're going to the park, Dave.
We're
going to
go get ice cream.
And I get in the car.
It's not ice cream. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are like that, Phil, where we wait, and that makes sense to us, right? You know what? It's not a big deal. We'll deal with it if it gets really, really bad.
Yeah.
And that is a very rational way to think.
Well, it's very easy to stick your head in the sand. And what do they say? Ignorance is bliss, right? So I don't think about it. It's not real until it actually is real. And then you have to deal with it, right? And that's not usually the best way to approach things in life, waiting till you have to.
We do have a caller.
Yeah, we do. I'm sorry.
Bill in Poughkeepsie.
I couldn't spell Poughkeepsie.
Bill. Good morning, Bill from Poughkeepsie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
How's things in Poughkeepsie?
Very cold for a change.
We're trying not to talk about that.
Early morning, yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, I am a client of yours, okay? Yep. I have a Medicaid trust, an irrevocable Medicaid trust. And a question came up the other day when I was meeting with my financial advisor regarding IRAs. I have a traditional IRA, which I'm currently in the RMD stage. And what I understand about that, if it is correct, that counts as income if I needed to apply for Medicaid, but the residual amount is not touchable, I guess, by the Medicaid.
So you have a good general understanding. So you're not wrong.
Bad, Bill.
That's pretty good.
But let me go to the second phase of this, though. Ooh. Is I also have Roth IRAs.
So that's different.
And my concern is, and I raised the question, and he didn't know, and he's going to talk to his lawyer also. Is basically, why would I keep the monies in a Roth rather than cash them out and put those monies into the trust?
So, Bill, let's do this. Let's have Phil tackle your first question. Yep. I'm going to tackle the Roth thing because I think the Roth thing is super interesting. The first part's extremely important.
Both are. Both questions are great questions, and they're very important questions because many people are in the same situation as you, Bill, that they have these retirement funds, and a lot of times there's a lot of money in those funds because people have been contributing to them their whole lives. So with your traditional type retirement funds, IRAs, 401ks that are funded with pre-tax money, Medicaid, long-term care Medicaid, as I get older, whether it's home in the care, what we call community Medicaid, or skilled nursing home, what we call chronic care Medicaid, they will not count the principal amount in such account as an asset for Medicaid eligibility purposes. So that sounds great, right? Oh,
that is great, by the way.
Oh, it's protected. That's
fantastic
great
news.
Now, there's a caveat, and which you alluded to, Bill, is that in order for them not to count those funds as assets for eligibility limits, they have to be in payout status. And what is payout status? Well, the IRS says when I'm 72 currently, I have to start taking my RMDs, my required minimum distributions, and that's so that the government gets their tax money. But Medicaid has their own set of rules, and they call it maximizing your distributions. So if Medicaid is going to pay for your nursing home care or community Medicaid, aides in the house, they say you have to take this amount of money out of your account every month based on their own life expectancy table, and that counts as income. All right, so they're turning it into an income stream, but the principal is protected. And depending on if you're in a nursing home or community Medicaid, there are different rules. We can a lot of times protect the income that you have to take, even if it's more when you're on community Medicaid. Nursing homes, a little less ability to protect income. There are some caveats. But then at the end of the day, you know, once you pass away one day, whatever's left in those accounts generally will pass to your beneficiaries on those accounts. So you had the right idea, Bill.
So hold on
Just for 1 second, though. So the understanding you, if I've already started RMD, you know, the minimum required distribution, okay?
Yep.
MRD, I guess. Sorry about that. If I already started that, does the Medicaid rules apply that I have to take based on their schedule?
Yes. Yes. If you're going to receive Medicaid benefits, you have to take it according to their life expectancy tables. And we would do that at the time that we submit a Medicaid application. You don't have to do that ahead of time.
Okay.
Well, the RMD is a minimum, right? And they want you to maximize your IRA. So let's get to this Roth thing, because this is super interesting. A Roth, unlike a traditional IRA, is funded with after-tax dollars. You already paid taxes. So the growth is tax-free, which is wonderful. And we want tax-free growth. Who doesn't want tax-free growth, right? That would be amazing to continue to earn money without any taxes on the appreciation. However, we do keep getting older. And at some point, Bill, you may be there right now, you may cash in that Roth and say, you know what? Protecting the money is more important than my tax-free growth. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm with you. At some point, I don't know when that is. A lot of people, a lot of my clients will end up cashing their Roth, otherwise investing it in a, you know, taxable account. They throw that taxable account into their trust that they already have, and they're going through that 5 years of protection for the asset. That growth is no longer tax-free, but we're hoping to get that step up in the tax basis when we die anyway.
Right.
And we're able to protect another asset, because the Roths are, you know, the IRS says with the regular IRA, you're going to pay taxes every time you take money out. They want you to save for retirement. They don't want you to just say, well, you know what, they're going to take it all anyway. I'm not going to save a dollar. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So they changed the rules between regular IRAs and Roth. And because of that, I think at some point, you step away from the tax-free growth.
All right. So for Medicaid purposes, the monies that are in the Roth are potentially available to for them to tap into before your eligibility.
It's going to be a consideration as to whether you're eligible or not. And it's not as clean as a regular IRA.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
That's great answers, believe me.
Oh, thank you. I think it's great to have both.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. But when you have both the IRA, or traditional type IRA, and the Roth IRA, because the protection that it gives is a blessing and a curse. Essentially, the regular IRAs are protected because they're not counted as an asset, but they make you turn into that income stream. Yep. Sometimes if you're in a nursing home for many, many years, which is unusual, it could start to deplete that account.
Or if you're, you know, in your 90s and that percentage they want you to take
is very high.
A seventh of the plan every year.
Exactly. So, and there's not much we can do to protect those, because if we want to move a traditional IRA somewhere, like to a trust, that's a taxable event, and you would lose close to half of it in taxes. So it just doesn't make sense. But with the Roth types, because taxes have been paid on that already and its growth is tax-free, we can do planning for those accounts. So I like when I see we have both of those. Some clients have both, because we could do a combination of planning there. It's nice.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Back to this timing thing. So clearly, John said that he's not going to go to the doctor with a cough and a sniffle. It's going to take a really lengthy bout of the coughs and the sniffles before he actually goes to the doctor. A lot of people feel that way for home care, and it's kind of the wrong way to approach it, because if we wait until, you know, dad really, really needs it, well, it's not a faucet where we just get water immediately. It's going to take a little bit of time. We got to start pumping the well couple months ahead of time, because we know, Phil, you know, that if someone comes in to do a community Medicaid application with us, while we can get them financially eligible immediately, Medicaid approved, let's say a month later, it might take 3 or 4 months before boots on the ground help is there.
It's a process, and it takes time. Yeah, it's not immediate. And if you're in crisis mode, which, you know, how many clients have you met with, they come to you and you can just tell by the wrinkles on their face or the look in their eyes that they've been dealing with this so long and they're at their wit's end, which is not a good place to be when you're starting to plan.
You mean when caregivers there and the spouse is at home with one of the kids and they just finally were able to get out. I know we got the break coming up here, but to put a little bow on this part, if you start the community Medicaid as soon as there's even a little bit of a need, the program can grow with the needs of your loved one, and we're never going to be in a situation, or we're hopefully avoiding a situation where it's panic mode, and we might end up putting someone in a facility that might not have needed it if we started the planning earlier and started the help from community Medicaid earlier. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
In the first half of the show, Phil and I and John, we're talking about timing. We had a wonderful call from Bill in Poughkeepsie. It's cold in Poughkeepsie. It's cold up here. It's time, guys.
Colder than I would like, yeah.
It's football season. Ooh, the leaves are starting to turn on a couple trees I saw.
Yeah, I saw that too. I couldn't believe it.
A little tangent for a moment, guys. Yeah. You know, on around August 1st, people were saying, I can't believe the summer's over.
I know.
I can't stand when we have one third of the summer left.
Yeah.
And people say the summer's over.
Yeah, it's
everyone's
really not.
You've got to be optimists here. Everyone's being too pessimistic. Yeah. My daughter saw a red leaf yesterday in the backyard, and that was her sign. Daddy, fall's coming.
It is coming, but, you know, I mean, today is going to be a fall day, so I can't really.
It will be timing.
Yeah. It's bad timing to talk about it. We should talk about it tomorrow when it's going to be 85 degrees.
Yeah, right. See, summer's coming back. We're not done yet.
We were talking about timing, and there's one other part where I absolutely wanted to make sure we got out there, Phil, because of a client I met with yesterday, and it's an all too familiar fact pattern for us. Might seem outrageous to the listeners out there. So mom is a widow. Mom has long-term care needs. She's got dementia. She's currently in an assisted living with memory care facility. Mom had a house, still has a house, and a disabled child is living in that house, grown child, and that child and his significant other are not contributing a dime to the cost of the house. Mom has limited income. So mom is private paying a facility and obviously private paying for the cost of her own home, and her income isn't good enough to even cover the home part. So we're out of pocket about $8,000 a month for the assisted living with memory care.
Yep.
And daughter came in and said, well, here's all the math. And I looked and I said, oh, goodness, we have about 5 months here of money. Mom does have an IRA, a regular IRA, which can be accessed to try to use money. And if we did all the math with the taxes, Phil, you were talking about, maybe that gets us to sometime in the beginning of summer next year. Maybe we can lengthen this to 10 months. But then we will be without one penny and zero options, a house that still costs money, and assisted living that still costs a lot of money. So what do we do? Well, I said to the client, to the daughter, I said, guess what? You're going to go on a bizarro college tour the next couple weeks. You are going to check out every nursing home within, you know, 2-3 counties of you.
Yeah.
And see if any of them, Phil, are acceptable. Because we know that just because you want to go to that facility may not have a bed open. And I was explaining to her the idea that in this part of mom's life, we're probably going to have to be a month or two early on, quote unquote, jumping the gun to move her to a nursing home, because we know that IRA is exempt, as you were saying to Bill.
Sure.
And we know that her funds are going to be low enough. $30,000 is the threshold right now for Medicaid. And she's, you know, barely has enough money to make ends meet. We know we can get her immediately eligible for that program.
Yep.
If they're in a nursing home, because Medicaid, for the most part, does not cover assisted living. So from that standpoint, the timing, I just don't want them left out in the cold, Phil, where they're finally ready or they get a call from the facility, which could be any day, that says, we can't take care of your mother anymore. The level of care she needs is beyond what we do. She needs a nursing home, and now you're forced to put her in one of the lesser desirable nursing homes out there. Sometimes you got to be a little early.
Yeah, you want to get the process started early to leave your options open. And that there's a lot going on in that fact pattern, Dave. And we see similar situations to that all the time. But there is a, whether there's 5 months, like you said, or a year maximum, there's a definitive end to those funds.
I was getting stressed out.
Yeah,
I was stressed
just listening,
out for her.
Right? And you can imagine her point of view being less educated on the topic, how stressed she is right now, I imagine.
I mean, 5 months, Phil, we're talking about, Thanksgiving. There's Halloween decorations at stores right now, and Thanksgiving, we might be out of money.
Sure. So, yeah, what are we doing? And now's the time to start that process. Like you said, I think that was great advice, Dave. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
I brought it all up just because I wanted that compliment.
I figured. Yeah,
it was worth it.
I know you were looking. You were searching. But yeah, you're exactly right. The people who need that level of care is getting larger each day, and that means there's less beds available and getting on these waiting lists. Right. So say we find a few facilities, they do their big grand college-type tour, and out of the 20 facilities they see, there's three or four that they really like, proximity-wise and
I gotta
facility-wise.
Tell you, I have my top five list. I'll keep it to myself, obviously, but there's five places where
I think
are
a lot of these places,
than others.
So we have more of an opportunity
I want to tell you, it's not easy. And you do have to wait. And yeah, planning ahead is, if you can, is absolutely the way to go.
And there's not a, especially when we're dealing with dementia and mm-hmm. someone's cognitive abilities are really impaired, they may not really know where they are.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the difference between an assisted living with memory care and a really good nursing home, that difference is a little blurry, and there's not a big difference, but there's a huge difference in cost.
Because
the Medicaid scenario, we're not private paying at all other than a small amount of our income.
Yeah,
because her income isn't very big,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to $8,000 a month after month after month after month.
Sure, right. And assisted livings are a great medium between home and nursing home, that transition. But
which is what I did, yeah.
Yeah, which is great. And it's a huge range of care, though. Example you gave with the memory care, that can easily hit $10,000 a month in some mm-hmm. places. But if I'm getting in at an entry level, I need very little care. Maybe I'm only paying $3,500 a month. It's a continuum of care, and your needs increase over time.
Yes.
But that, again, planning when the care is less is going to give you more options when the care is more.
Now, last week we were talking about how, money isn't everything, but it's something. And when it comes to dividing money amongst, the children of mom and dad, when after mom and dad die, sweetheart deals are nice when it comes to buyouts of houses, whatever. Money truly isn't everything, and care is the most important. So if in this scenario, mom really is thriving in assisted living with memory care, maybe we start liquidating that retirement. My great aunt is a perfect scenario of this, Phil, where she was childless, is childless. She's still with us. And my mother is kind of in charge of everything. And we'd have, discussions every now and then about the right amount of care. And even though we could have gotten her qualified for Medicaid mm-hmm. years ago, instead, my mother went through her retirement to make sure she's at the right facility for her, which was an assisted living, because money isn't everything. Care is the most important. But at some point when the care is the same on the left hand and the right hand, let's look at saving money, right? We're never...
If it's an option.
We're never saying money's more important than the right amount of care. The right amount of care is always more important, but once we're there, let's save that money.
I always tell my clients it's a balancing act when we're planning in that capacity. On the one hand, protecting assets if possible. On the other hand, letting the individual live a life they deserve, that they've worked for, and getting the care they need. And how do we balance those scales to possibly achieve both of those things? If we can achieve both of those things, that's great. That's awesome. But sometimes it's not possible. And yes, I agree. Care should always be the number one priority. But there are often options people just overlook without proper education. Or, like we said earlier, from a timing perspective, they just started too late in terms of they waited till everything is already extinguished. No more assets left. And now I have very few options.
Well, talk about timing. That is the ultimate timing, right? Yeah. When do you start a plan?
Yeah. And when do you start a plan? Yeah. When you're 18 years old, in my opinion, you start a plan as soon as you can, right? In terms of a general estate plan.
Sure.
And that plan is a fluid plan. So over the time, my needs change, my situation changes, my monetary situation changes, and that plan has to change with you. So it's a fluid thing. No one can tell the future. I wish I could be a very rich man, but we can only plan according to what's in front of us at that time. So we plan on that basis, And if those plans change, we change with it. You know, plan changes with it, right?
All right, Phil. Is it ever too late to plan? Let's get into it. Oh, we got 5 minutes, but let's just do it.
Never.
It's never too late to plan.
Never too late to plan.
Explain yourself.
Never too late. So I had a client this week that came to me, and I think they were in their early 80s, but very healthy individuals. And
it must be too late. They're in their early 80s.
Yeah, it's too late. 80s. I'm old. And they said, it's too late for us to, in this situation, it's too late for us to do a trust. And I said, who told you that? And they said to me, actually, another attorney told them that, which to me was not...
not a good attorney.
I said, let's have a conversation here, and I want to learn about you guys and your situation and your goals.
Well, Phil, sometimes it's too late, or you don't have enough money for a trust, which drives me through the roof. You got a house. That's
yeah.
enough.
Yeah,
by the way, just a little tidbit here. The oldest client I ever did a trust for, this kind of trust, Medicaid trust, was 104 yeah. years old. And it wasn't because she was going to live to 109. It was because she needed home care
wow.
then.
Yeah.
So we got our home care
for
2 years.
All right. So there are situations, no matter what
it's
your age is, where a trust is still, or you know, there's a different kind of, and I say trust, like people know what a trust is, because you can look up a trust on the internet and my mind will explode, because there's so many different types of trust, different information, misinformation. And a lot of people think of trust in terms of,
trust funds.
Wealthy. I'm a trust fund yeah. kid. That's, you know, that's the Hollywood version. That's the most popularized version, but there's so many others, and it's never too late.
So tell me, you meet with this couple, and you educate them on how actually it's not too late, and trusts do more than just protect money long term.
Yep.
Avoid probate's a thing, and there's also along the way, you know, 5 years is a long time, but when you're able to also take advantage of things like community Medicaid, you could really get through that 5-year period, even if you are in your 90s.
Well, and it goes back to what I said before, again, that it's a fluid plan, and we plan based on the facts in front of us now, and we do this trust. If 5 years pass, great. Right. We protected the asset, and if you need that care in the future, we don't have to worry about it. But let's say something happens to change that plan. Someone needs nursing home in less than 5 years. We can't privately pay to meet 5 years. We take a step back. We undo what we did. And we look at plan B, which is not as good as plan A, but it often is still very good. And what I would hate to see, though, is a missed opportunity.
You know what it's like? You know, if you have GPS on your car
yeah.
and you miss a turn, what does it say? It says rerouting, right?
Half hour longer now.
Whatever. Well, listen, whatever it might be, you're taking the next exit. But yeah. your car is adjusting to get you to that destination.
Sure.
And if it turns out that things don't happen quite as planned, and you know what? We need something a little earlier. Your car reroutes you. Your attorneys reroute you on this kind of stuff. And that's gets to kind of the importance of us having a relationship. We say all the time, if something yeah. really good or really bad happens to you, give us a call again. Come in every couple of years, regardless of good or bad things happening, because we need to know if we're still on that route or whether we need to reroute you.
Let us listen. Let us help you. I love to listen. I love to hear people's stories, and I love to try to help them. And again, I hate to hear missed opportunities. But how often do you hear, I wish I did this 5 years ago when I thought about it, right?
I wish a lot of things, too.
And so do I. But the fact of the matter is, it's never too late, and there's always something we can do to help.
Speaking of listening here, Phil, you've been listening to a lot of crying at home. How's the baby?
The baby's great. The baby's great. I do feel bad. My wife does more at night, and I'm a heavy sleeper, right? So
Are
this
you?
Morning,
yeah.
I am. So I said, listen, you got to just punch me in the face. Wake me up. I don't mind. I'm just not going to do it on my
right.
own.
Jen, I'll do it for you.
Dave will come over and slap me, wake me up, and I'll help out.
So everyone's good, though. The kids are good.
Everyone's great. Thank you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.